All right, Kyle Shanahan expects a home crowd to help him tonight and make life hard on the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
See if Matt Barrows likes home cooking. Sleeping in his own bed.
Matty Barrows.
Waking up.
Come on.
Short drive to Levi's Stadium. No elevation. No crazy crowd noise. It's just a peaceful evening at the yard. Matt Barrows of The Athletic, who, by the way, publicly... I'm not outing him here. Publicly took the Rams to win 20-17.
Okay.
Thought I'd start that way, but making you so you can make some enemies here, Matty.
Yeah.
Good morning, buddy. How are you, man?
What's up, man?
Oh, I was doing great, and I'm not going to get all this hate mail on
Twitter.
Yeah,
look over your shoulder today, Matty. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to come into the stadium incognito, like trench coat, the whole thing.
Rickety offensive line plus out-of-sync quarterback is a bad combination, says Matty. You stand by it?
Well, do you disagree, Murph? Do you disagree with that assessment?
Oh, see, now you turn it on me. Isn't it true? Yeah. Paulie always likes to call this the isn't it true moment, where you turn it, you say, isn't it true, Matty? That you once said that the Niners would lose.
Yeah.
yes, it is a bad combination. I don't know what to expect from these guys, man. Those losses to the Bears and the Broncos were awful, awful, awful losses. And I was looking at the NFC West standings. And the Niners have that one win, and if they have one win after tonight, I know you got 13 more, but man, it's looking, I don't want to say dicey, but it ain't looking good, Matty.
No, I agree. 1-3 will look an awful lot like 3-5, which is what they were at the midpoint of last season, and when Shanahan was like, do I keep pushing for the playoffs, or do I start looking towards the future, looking to next season? So, still a lot of games to be played. Here's the counter argument to my prediction, is that the 49ers at times have looked worse in recent years, and they've had the Rams just sitting there on their schedule, and it just seemed impossible for them to win.
Right.
I mean, remember that game in 2020? They lost to Miami. That was the one where
that was
they
the Brian Allen game. Right?
That was a terrible loss.
Exactly. Yeah. The Brian Allen game.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo got the hook.
Yep.
Very rarely has gotten the hook in his career. He got the hook, the Brian Allen, this, that, and the other. That team was out of sorts. Terrible. I forget what the final score was, but it was
ugly.
A lot uglier than the Denver score.
Yep.
And they were playing the Rams. And, the Rams were good. There was no way they were going to beat the Rams.
You know,
well, they beat the Rams. And in fact, they won the last six up until the championship game against the Rams. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's if there's a formula for the 49ers to get right, it's to have the Rams on the schedule, because they seem to always play their best with Los Angeles looming. So that's the good thing going into tonight's game.
And for sure, for being Super Bowl champs, I mean, the Rams are not – I mean, the Niners beat them last year twice in the regular season and could have beaten them in the NFC Championship on the road, in addition to the six previous wins. And the Rams have not looked amazing in their first 3 weeks, correct?
Correct. And there's no Von Miller and there's no Odell Beckham, a couple of guys that played really key roles in their championship win last year. So I don't think it's quite as good a team. Their offensive line is just as bad as the 49ers is. My issue is that the Rams got a little bit better against the 49ers in those three meetings, and obviously they won the third. And there's now this formula. It's the Vic Fangio defense that teams trot out against Shanahan and the 49ers, and they usually do really well. The Broncos defensive coordinator, Ejiro Evero, was with the Rams for the last 5 years. So he knew what to do against them. So they're basically playing the same – they're going to be playing the same defense that the Broncos played last week. And the 49ers haven't quite figured it out. And you've got a very young offensive line. I think that's kind of key to it, is that young offensive line is just now figuring out how to zone block. Do the very basics of this offense, much less the master's level stuff that's required. So that's why I'm a bit skeptical. If they can pull it together, wow! Kudos to them. That would be a really great sign for the season. But I think that, like I said, that plus the fact that Jimmy's not quite ready yet, I think is is a bad sign.
The Bobby Turner reemergence, I was wondering, you know, it almost like they had to, you know, set a car for him or something, you know? It's like, you know, because everybody's like, oh, Mike McDaniel was the reason. Mike McDaniel was the guy. And then all of a sudden, Bobby Turner shows up. Now, of course, obviously, there's a lot more going on. He was coming off of, I believe, hip or knee replacement. And he was supposed to be out all year. But anyway, is that, you know, a storyline to you?
It's a storyline in that he is so beloved on that team that it's just a jolt of elation that this team gets, a jolt of energy. And yeah, I mean, you know, this time last year, I was just talking about the 3-5 start to the 2021 season.
Yep.
I think the biggest reason for that start was that they just ran out of running backs. And that, you know, that was when they started to use Debo Samuel as a tailback. Elijah Mitchell got healthy right at the right time, et cetera, et cetera. But tailback is a big, big position for this team, and they need to find some pop out of that. So anything that's kind of helping that position group is good for this team. So having Bobby Turner back in the building, only positive stuff. You know, the question I have, and you just touched on it, Murph, is no Mike McDaniel anymore. He was the creative element for this team. And so, like I said, they're playing this defense, which is starting to proliferate around the league. And so you're going to have to evolve. You're going to have to adapt. And so what's the next move that this team is going to make? Mike McDaniel has been very good at kind of coming up with that that move, that kind of creative element that allows them to keep pace with these defenses. And now it's falling to Chris Foerster. It's falling to a bunch of guys, and obviously Kyle Shanahan is the master of that too. So that's sort of the intriguing part of this. Like, what are they going to do? What's their next move going to be to defeat this this defense that George Kittle said has been giving the 49ers fits over the last two seasons?
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Hmm. And, you know, speaking of, you talk about tailback, the other names, Jordan Mason, or JP they call him, and Tevin Coleman?
He's back.
Are we looking at new faces here?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to bet, I don't know this, but, you know, Tevin Coleman right now, as we're talking, is on the practice squad. They're going to elevate a few guys today. They have to in order to have enough healthy bodies for this game. I would be surprised if he's not one of those. And then if he is, I think he's going to be the number two tailback to Jeff Wilson. So we're going to have a return to 2018 type of game here with those two guys at tailback.
Man, oh, man. We're talking to Matt Barrows of The Athletic as the Niners get ready for the Rams. 5:15 tonight. It's going to be on 107.7 The Bone and KGO. Obviously, Monday Night Football. Buck and Aikman on the call. You got your Papa and Ryan on the call. You got your McVay and your Shanahan going at it. What did you make of Jimmy's comments Friday, if anything, as we continue to play the soap opera game between him and Kyle? I felt like maybe it was just me, maybe it's my biorhythms or whatever, but I felt like his comments weren't that. It's like you guys asked about the lip reading thing, which I didn't know what to make it. It's like, come on. But he was like, yeah, I don't know. I could have said anything.
Say a lot of stuff, Matty. Like, could have been anything.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he distanced himself.
I'm not saying
really.
I did. I'm not saying I didn't. Yeah. I say a lot of things.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I reading that wrong?
No, he essentially said, yeah, I say a lot of horrible things. Yeah. I mean, it could have been anything. I could have been yelling at anyone in that instance. That's sort of been the takeaway a lot of times that he's spoken. I mean, it was the 2017 stuff coming off the Seahawks game where he said, yeah, it felt like it did back in 2017 when I got here. It was all fun. We were just firing away. And then he was asked to follow up. And usually in the follow-ups, these guys walk their comments back a little bit. But he didn't in that instance and didn't really in the lip-reading thing either. I had actually played it for him at his locker the day before, and he has to see it twice, and I could tell from his face that either he was doing a really good acting job, maybe it was all those Subway commercials got him ready for it, but he was like doing the squint in the eyes thing. I don't think that he could tell what he was saying either. But I mean, it's obvious that he was frustrated with that. It was right after that pick that he threw against the Broncos, the one where he was trying to throw to Deebo Samuel, and K'Wan Williams tipped it. So, I mean, he's either pissed at himself, he's either pissed at Samuel, or he's angry at Kyle Shanahan. I mean, I think that's the only, maybe the offensive line, or maybe it's all of the above, because all of those things were missing elements in Denver.
I love that you're the one who showed it to him. And, you know, it was like there's a little bit of importance to that there, Maddie.
Well, it was such a big deal. Yeah. I mean, and I say big deal on Twitter, and it was intriguing. And here's my take. I mean, there's a whole, you could go onto YouTube, there's a whole channel called Bad Lip Reading. And they dub things over people's mouths, especially the NFL. And it's great because it just shows you that you can make them say just about anything that you want.
Right, right.
And it's the power of suggestion. And the original video clip had what that person thought Garoppolo said, and it made sense, and it sort of fit what you know, the shapes that his mouth was making. But my point is that the power of suggestion, merely kind of putting that text there, led everybody to believe, okay, that's exactly what he said, when there are other things that fit too. Like I said, lip reading is an inexact science.
It is. I'm pretty bad at it. I don't know, man. We have Paulie and I. Everything goes back to Seinfeld in life, and there is the famous U.S. Open
Jerry
episode.
Jerry was dating a lip reader. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yep.
Marley Matlin. Yeah,
that's
right.
That's right, Maddie.
There it is. Yep. There it is. All right, Matt. Last one. Practical stuff. Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw. Your gut feeling here?
Yeah, my gut feeling for both of those guys is that they play. It seemed like Armstead, especially in that Thursday, maybe it was the Friday practice, was going at it pretty hard, and he was back out there the day after that. So I think that's a good sign. And for Kinlaw, it was swelling and waiting for swelling to go down. So, you know, the bigger question for him might be, what's he like after this game if he plays? And that's a big deal. I mean, that's been the troublesome knee for him. And the 49ers felt like, okay, we finally did the surgery that's going to kind of get him right once and for all. And, gee, it doesn't seem that like it's been totally cured to this point.
I mean, that's just the ultimate. It was a huge to-do. I feel like a new man, and it's all fixed. And here we are. That's very discouraging and disappointing. But we'll see. And then you turn around and fly you got to start thinking Charlotte right after this, huh?
That's right. It's the two city in the southeast trip. It's Charlotte, and then followed by Atlanta, and then in the middle there's a sojourn in West Virginia. So we're going to be on the road for a while, Murph.
Oh, so you guys are going back to the Greenbrier?
Going back to the Greenbrier, yeah, absolutely.
You're known there.
Matty's known up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Well, no, we're not. They don't let us into the Greenbrier. We are riffraff. I mean, you have to have reservations at the Greenbrier.
I understand.
Now, you're a Virginia kid. Yeah. Did you ever get to the Greenbrier when you were growing up?
No, never got to the Greenbrier when I was growing up. Never made it that far west, over the old Appalachians, no.
So you wouldn't, I mean, John Denver saying West Virginia, you guys didn't buy. You weren't buying it.
Hey, man.
I got to admit, there was some snobbiness from Virginia towards West Virginia. Like, that was,
and
that
yet, was
out. That's the country. That's way out of the stick.
Two things.
Now, we're Virginia. They're West.
You guys are the elites. Yeah,
two rebuttals to that.
Exactly. There you go. There
two
you go.
Rebuttals to that. One, I believe that while stereotyped thusly, West Virginia is actually known as a very beautiful mountain state.
What they say, Maddie.
Right? Two, didn't your hometown Orioles adopt John Denver's Thank God I'm a Country Boy as a seventh inning stretch song?
You know,
therefore, you know,
hey.
Well, they were playing John Denver right up until the Broncos game the other day. So I don't think that's going to be played very much around these parts heading into that West Virginia practice.
Wait, were they playing Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah, I think so. They were playing something, and I remember thinking, wow, what a strange hype pump-up music before the game. They're playing it in Santa Clara.
Okay.
during one of their practices.
Which is unusual because usually that DJ is bringing some pretty fierce...
He brings some strong beats, yeah.
Some pretty fierce
beats.
Well,
here's the thing is that the new special teams coordinator, Brian Schneider, does classic rock during the special teams portion.
So
I think you and Paulie Mack should come down.
Yeah, we should.
You groove out to some Van Halen, some...
How do the kids... They
got the classics.
How are the Sam Womacks of the world adopting to that? Are they enjoying it?
Right.
You know what? I do notice some toe-tapping.
Okay.
They can't help but just kind of get into the
groove. Do you remember...
Some of that stuff is irresistible. Yeah.
Do you remember when Jim Harbaugh would describe any song as a toe-tapper?
Yeah,
do you remember
it's
that?
A real toe-tapper, Maddie? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I brought it up. Yeah, for sure.
Very good. You're two steps ahead, as always. I'm two steps behind, as always. All right, Matt. Matthew, off you go. Enjoy Levi's, and we can't wait for your Miss Ives, your predictions notwithstanding. Thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Great Matt Barrows. Off to Charlotte.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.